Important dates in Christian history. 432 AD. After escaping years of slavery in Ireland as a young man, Patrick, a British Christian, returns to Ireland as a missionary. His work results in multitudes of Irish people coming to the Christian faith. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
If you haven't counted your blessings recently, you're about to. This is Wretched Radio. Why should you count your blessings? Because it's mailbag day and we're not going to play Paula White, which we had in the queue this week. Heike Wildefisch, the head of the Office of Faith, with her latest prosperity scam. Oh, this hoodwinker. It's something about Passover. Jimmy, you listen to it. Dalton sent it to me and I saw it and I went, okay, this looks like it's like maybe historic level horrible. So I'll tell you what, why don't you all chop it up and then we'll make our way through it when we do Wretched Radio. So I haven't heard it. You have.
Yeah. So what you said to Dalton is, I don't want to listen to it. Send it to Jimmy.
Yes.
And he has to listen to it.
Yes.
Thanks for that, Todd.
Well, that's, I'm not lying at least.
You're a giver.
Well, we're going to have to hear it together anyway.
That's right.
All right. So how bad is it?
It is bad.
Count your blessings. Not going to do it today, but we will. Maybe. You know what would be nice? I just, working through that stuff, it's people see it. This woman has been given a position in the White House and people see this. It's the Office of Faith. All right. And by the way, it's not the Office of Christianity. It's the Office of Faith. So he could have put anybody there. He happened to choose a first-rate charlatan in the person of Paula White. And people see her ridiculous, air quote, preaching and the Passover blessing or something like that. If you just send in, I think the lowest you could send in is like $50. Up to $1,000, then you get your own angel or some nonsense like that. So count your blessings. We're not doing that, and hopefully we won't next week. In the meantime, mailbag 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Jacob. Todd, if a disqualified pastor repents of his sin and he undergoes church discipline for a certain amount of time, and after careful observation is believed to be genuine, is there any way he could serve in his church? I know we should never preach again, but can he evangelize? What are some of the things he can do and can't do?
You've got two categories there that I think need to be articulated. Otherwise, I think there'd be some conflation and some confusion. Can a pastor who has disqualified himself be restored? This is my take on the issue because it is a huge trend, especially in certain circles. A pastor can commit the most heinous crime, but we've spent 3 weeks with him and he's really sorry and he's shown signs of repentance. So here he is, everybody, and out to the platform he goes. Oh, it's abhorrent. Can we definitively state there is never an instance, a circumstance of whatever the details happen to be that could provide an exception? I think we have to say yes, but I do believe the rule is no, you can't be restored. That's what disqualification is. You are no longer above reproof. You're no longer a one that is considered by the community to be one who is credible. And so you've disqualified yourself and you're out of the game. That's the rule. I can imagine there might be an exception, but it would be really kind of a rare sort of affair because I think the rule is disqualification. I mean, if you're disqualified in a game, you're done. Then they're in a swimming relay, and they kick off the wall wrong. They don't say, "Okay, everybody, pause. We're going to give them a little time for restoration, and then they can keep on swimming." No, they're disqualified. I think that's the rule. Now, having said that, the other category, the column that I think is baked into this question is, What does their life look like in the life of the church after they've disqualified themselves? I have to tell you, I think we don't want to see any pastor disqualified, but when it happens, it could be so magnificent. The testimony could be so staggering. Here's what I see happen a lot, especially in these public stories. The pastor gets disqualified and then he's just gone. He's off to Aruba. never here, takes his money, whatever the issue is, or they have to go to another church. If a pastor inside of a church disqualifies himself, he should stay right there. That's his church. I mean, I don't mean like possessive, but that's where he belongs. And he should stay there. And the body should say, we love you. Yeah, you biffed it. Aren't we all grateful for God's grace? You sinned. Our faith says you're forgiven. Now, you happen to be disqualified from elder ministry, but let's see what you can do around here. Now, you could probably take 10 good theologians, put them in a room and say, what are the things that a disqualified pastor could do? You'll probably get maybe 70% agreement, not total, because I think the key issue as to what role can an individual, a fallen pastor, serve in the life of the church, I might say, and I might want to alter this, anything that does not appear to be the role of the elder. I think that's pretty. So he's not going to be up on the platform. He's probably not going to be involved even in the distribution of communion. Is not going to be doing it in a teaching role. We want no confusion. Outside of that, then every other thing that needs to get done in a church, let's just say, is wide open. I think that's a pretty decent rule. And it might look a little bit different, but what a testimony. Wait a second. You mean that guy was the scoundrel and he's there? And look at he's serving and nobody treats him like a leper? What kind of a God do you serve? What a testimony that could be. You got any other parameters for that?
Yeah, I think the guy's question, Jacob's question, what can he do?
Yeah.
A lot.
I
think he has
eldership.
And I don't think it's what he can do. It's what he has a responsibility as a member of a church to serve the church.
If we're serious about this, he's still got a gift and you're just not going to use it the way that he did. Okay, here's one for you. Hospital visits. Now, you got to ask yourself the question, is a hospital visit an exclusive territory in the auspices of elder?
I don't think so.
No.
He
should be. Now, I would argue this, though. If perceptually, in our culture, a hospital visit could lead somebody to think, oh, he's still pastoring, then I would say wisdom would say you shouldn't do it. I wouldn't make it a law, but I would say wisdom in our context might suggest that. So it ain't easy to sort through this, but I still think if it isn't giving the impression that he's still an elder in any way, shape, or form, oh, there's lots to be done. There's so much that can be done. And by the way, this is, I'm sneaking this in because the name Jacob, do you know what the name Jacob means? Heel grabber.
Oh.
Yeah. So I'm at the gym the other day, like I need to state it. And there was a young man who wanted to use the piece of equipment that I was on. And I said, you know what? I'll tell you what, I'm going to be a little bit on this one, but you're welcome. You're welcome to work in with me. What's your name? And he said, Jacob. And I said, wrongly, I said, I think that's the Hebrew word for gift. Totally wrong. It's heel grabber, right? But it allowed us to chat. That's all. Just asking somebody's name allowed us to chat. Did I witness to him then? Nope. We were busy pushing iron around. The next time I bump into Jacob at the gym, yep, that's all it takes. Be strategic in your evangelism. Just be thinking about how you could. And I've been really surprised. I've noticed that I was talking to a couple, maybe a decade younger than me and Mrs. Friel, and they were talking about how unfriendly they perceive people are in Georgia. And I thought, I'm not sure it's just Georgia. I think that we've seen a shift in our culture where we are less community-minded than we once were. If you would have asked a European what they think about Americans chatting in elevators, they'd go, that's weird. We don't do that in Europe. They certainly don't do that in Asia. That's just, you just mind your business. Well, we did in America when you'd walk by somebody on the sidewalk. Hey, how you doing? Good day, huh? kind of dog is that? That does not happen nearly as much as it once did. I think we've seen a cultural shift in that. But my surprise has been when I do try to engage somebody, and typically like at the gym, where, you know, they're looking like, you know, they're earnest, they're trying to focus on stuff. It's amazing how quickly people open up. And they're willing to chat. I am no George Barna. I can't tell you this definitively, but I do believe we are in a season where people, they actually appreciate if you just talk to them and are kind to them. Yeah, you might get blown off here and there, but for the most part, what I experienced with Jacob, he and I chatted a little bit. I look forward to seeing him next time, calling him by his name, and then saying, hey, Jacob, you know that your name comes from the Bible, and then boom, you're there. Don't not be strategic. I guess I could have just said be strategic, but I chose a double negative because you will be shocked at what it takes to get in and have a conversation with somebody. I think we are living right now. The door, in my estimation, is wide open for evangelistic conversations. You're going to get it slammed on occasion. Overall, you're going to walk through it if you are, sorry to use this word with all due respect to Goldie Hawn, mindful. This is Wretched Radio.
25 years. That's a quarter century of standing firm for biblical truth.
This is Wretched Radio.
Through every cultural shift, every challenge, every opportunity to proclaim God's truth, you've been with us. And for that, you're grateful. What started as Wretched Radio has grown into something remarkable. Today, as part of Fortis Institute, we're reaching more believers than ever before. Our daily podcasts and radio shows, video content, and biblical resources continue to strengthen local churches and equip the saints, just as we've done for 25 years. But none of this would be possible without faithful partners like you. You've helped us reach millions with the unchanging truth of God's Word. As we celebrate this milestone, we're reminded that our mission remains the same, serving the King of Kings by strengthening His church. Join us at FortisInstitute.org as we continue this journey together for 25 more years of faithful service.
Until tomorrow, go serve your King. Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus, all of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that, plus the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
You've most likely been there, sitting across from a therapist, staring at their degrees on the wall, listening while they give you a diagnosis and tell you what pill and prescription they think are going to cure all your ills. You walk out of the office carrying a label, and you wonder why you feel even heavier than you did before you walked in. That's why Dr. Greg Giffert wrote Lies My Therapist Told Me, because sometimes it's not the medication or even the diagnosis that's the real issue. It's that the whole system doesn't touch what's going on beneath the surface. Look, not every struggle is solved with a pill. Not every label tells the entire story. What if addiction's not just a disease? What if your anxiety is not just a chemical imbalance? And what if the diagnosis handed to your child is not the final word? The world gives its answers, but rarely does it ever deal with the heart. Scripture does. Pre-order Lies My Therapist Told Me today at FortisInstitute.org/lies. That's FortisInstitute.org/lies.
Revelation. How can anyone know God unless He reveals Himself? If God did not speak, religion would be nothing more than man's best guess. But God has revealed Himself in creation, in the Bible, and in the person of Jesus Christ. We can know God and we can be brought into right standing with Him.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Jimmy.
Yes?
Go ahead and ask me how I'm feeling.
Todd, how are you feeling today?
Smug and self-satisfied. I nailed that segue. This is Wretched Radio. That's right. We went from a question sent in by Jacob about eldership and pastoral disqualification to an opportunity to encourage evangelism based on the name Jacob.
Man.
Yeah. That's some fine work right there, buddy boy. Please send questions, comments, conundrums, snarks to idea@wretched.org. Text away 877-282-2337.
All right, this is an interesting question from Paul. Todd, how is the church handling AI? There's AI writing sermons, AI writing songs for Bible studies.
Yeah.
Are we using discernment or embracing it without guardrails?
Yeah, we need some guardrails real bad. It's coming in like a flood. I don't know if you felt it in your industry, but it is absolutely happening inside of the church. There are already websites that are built. You can use AI to their version of AI to write sermons, et cetera. And I think every pastor needs to struggle with this. Believe me, I think it through too, because there are times, okay, I'm writing a sermon and I'm thinking, oh, you know what would be helpful if I knew this? Now, there are two ways I can go find out that. I can go to the Google machine, which none of us seem to have a problem with, interestingly. And then I can start sorting through, or I can use my concordance. I can do a word study. I could read commentaries on it. I could read the entire Bible to find every verse that talks about a particular subject, or I could toss it into AI and get it in about 3 seconds. Should I do that? And I think the answer is maybe, maybe not. Depends on what it is. And you say, well, why wouldn't you use that for speed and convenience? Because there's something about having to dive into the Word and sort these things that changes a man. It grows a man. It deepens a man. It helps you know the subject matter better. It might expose you to differing opinions on what your presuppositions are. In other words, it's good for us to do that heavy lifting. On the other hand, it can be really convenient. It's like, okay, so for instance, all right, here's what I did. I needed a list of all of the individuals between the first century and the 21st century of people who claim to be Jesus Christ. Now, because the sermon that I think I'm preaching it this Sunday, I'm getting a little confused because we also did a video on this that gave the history of false teachers, because Jesus warns. Here's the first thing that he says when the disciples say, so what, the end of the age, when is this happening? What are the signs? And Jesus says, don't be deceived. That's kind of a weird answer. It should be like, okay, so when the air smells like strawberries and the wind blows from both the east and the west simultaneously, when it's 72 degrees, then you know I'm coming. No, he said, don't be deceived. There's going to be false prophets that come, false Christ claiming to be me. And if you look at it, it's like, nah, that wouldn't happen. So it's like, well, I knew that it did happen. And I know that we see it today. Now, there have been Mormons that have made that claim. Jesus de Miranda has made that claim. There are people who claim to be, there's a guy in Australia right now who's claiming to be Jesus Christ. Herbert W. Armstrong. It's like, and it goes back to the first century. Josephus, this is so, maybe we'll share this someday. Yeah, I think it's this Sunday's sermon. Yes, I should know that. That Josephus, who wrote history books, he was not a believer. I think he was born in 37, died in about 100. So, but he saw Christianity and he gives an account of it. And all it does is support what we know from the New Testament. It's an extant source to support the veracity of the Bible. And he describes the false teachers claiming to be Christ that arose. And interestingly, in the book of Acts, those guys are actually referred to. Gamaliel did it, Acts chapter 5. I think it's also in Acts chapter 21. No, that Josephus said, I've seen these false teachers claim to be Christ. And Acts affirms that. Why? Because Jesus prophesied it, because there are going to be individuals who call themselves Jesus Christ. Now, I would like that information. Should I use AI to get it? Or should I go through Google and read through 15 different articles looking for that information and then gleaning for the specific information of what their claims or quotes were or how they were treated by Felix. Should I do that, Jimmy, AI, or do the hard work?
Depends on what it is. But what you're talking about, I think AI is acceptable.
I do too.
I think there's a difference between learning and leveraging. There's a difference between the two. You can leverage AI for what it does, but if that's all you do and you don't do the hard, heavy work, you don't learn. And what happens when the internet goes away?
Yeah, I don't think that we need to be dogmatic about AI because we want it. I don't think we've already got tools. Okay, we use concordances. Nobody says boo. Do you have strongest concordance ever yet? It's a cataloging of every single word in the Bible. And we use that to go find a verse. If you were saying, no, the pastor needs to do the hard work, then he shouldn't use a concordance. No commentaries. Don't listen to anybody else's understanding of a particular text. You deal with it and because you've got to grow. I think we would all say that doesn't seem right. So we need to figure out what AI is. And the answer is it is a hyper search engine that is loaded with danger because it is not an unbiased source. It's going to deliver what the programmers determine it should deliver. So you've got to use it with caution. I'm not a legalist in that regard. I say use it. Just be judicious about it. And if you find yourself, honey, I got done with the sermon in like 45 minutes. Used to take me like 20 hours, and this is amazing. You're probably robbing the congregation and yourself of spiritual growth. And I would say, then it's verboten.
Yeah.
Otherwise, use it. Use it wisely. 877-282-2337.
All right. This is from Sandy. Todd, my 21-year-old son is exploring Catholicism. I heard you say this generation is leaning more toward Orthodox worship. Yeah. How should I handle conversations with him?
Yeah, you're gonna have to be really smart. And I would encourage, there's a lot of things you can talk about, but I would offer some principles that I think you could follow. Here would be a rule that I would suggest. Make it about one issue. Grace, or if you will, the doctrine of justification. Stay on it like a laser. And there's a reason for that. Because you could argue about a Mariology. You could talk about papal authority. You could talk about the magisterium. You could talk about praying to saints. You could talk about indulgences. Probably just going to get you into a wrangle. And it won't affect the conscience. But a discussion about justification, how one is made right with God, that will weigh on them to show them from the Roman Catholic Catechism that you are a works-based system. Have you done enough? Are you sure? So how many years do you think you're going to be spending in purgatory? Because I got to tell you, I'm reading this verse right here and it says, grace alone, faith alone, and Christ alone. And I've been set free and I'm absent from the body, present with the Lord. I'm going to be with Jesus Christ based on his merits, not my own. I don't have a waiting period. I'm not going to get put into a holding room. I'm going to be with the Lord, just like the Bible says. What about you? And make it about that issue. Is there a reason? You do understand that Protestantism says that we are saved by grace alone, faith alone, and Christ alone. You do understand that Roman Catholicism says that you must do works. And please note this. The Roman Catholic apologists have gotten very clever with this issue because they know it's a problem. And so they try to present themselves as a Protestant when they say, yes, we believe that it is by faith we are saved, but it must be accompanied by works. And we affirm that, but not accompanied. It's the fruit of salvation. That works happen after we've been saved. And so I've noticed on the internet machine that there are Catholic apologists that try to sound like Protestants, but here's the reality. That is not what their doctrines state in writing. You do not have to. Let's just go back to the Council of Trent, the anathemas that were applied to those who believe in grace alone. I think there's at least five. If you say that you are saved by grace alone, you are anathema. If you do not believe that works play any role in salvation, you are anathema. It's in their documents, which they can never change because those are considered the dogmas of the church under the auspices of the magisterium. and the infallible Pope when speaking on these issues. They can't change their doctrine, so they try to shade them. Be aware of that. So if you're talking to somebody who's Roman Catholic, most likely they're moving toward Roman Catholicism. They're probably watching videos like that. Take them to their documents and stay laser focused on justification. So how are you doing, my friend, and working your way to heaven? How you doing? Hey, good to see you. How's the works program been going? Stay on that issue, because if you get into the other ones, then you're just going to do a Bible verse swap. You're just going to do a wrangling that's going to take you round and round. Stick with the conscience when it comes to dealing with those folks. And I might also suggest this. Show them that it does not require an institution for them to be connected to the invisible church of all ages. That comes by being in the family of God, not by being a member of the Roman Catholic or Eastern Orthodox Church. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.